Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, Jocelyn, how's it going?
Not too bad. How are things on your end of the interwebs?
Pretty good. I've kept my end of the interweb nice and tidy, besides my desk, as I look around. but, you know, things are going good. It's just another typical Wednesday night, you know?
You know, all my nights are just kind of blending together because I haven't been at work in like 2.5 weeks, so I don't even know what day it is anymore. If you didn't, you know, send me tweets in the morning saying, so, we still on for tonight? Then I'd just be like, it must be Thursday.
See, I have the opposite problem. My days are blending together, but I have been at work for the last 2.5 weeks. So it just seems like it's 4 days of work, then 3 days of running around like a chicken with its head cut off, then 4 days of work. Oh, God, it's just one thing after another.
Sounds pretty insane.
Yeah. Well, let's hope it slows down for the weekend.
I hope it does. I have more nothing to do.
I hope I have nothing because, you know, when we get into talking games, I have like 2 things and I'm really hoping to expand on that. Not so much that I have like 8 things to talk about next week, but maybe more than 2.
I have a few things to talk about this week. I'm looking forward to it. But before we get to it, I just wanted to quickly mention that I did an interview a couple of months ago with Gamer Weblog, which is done by Mashup Man, who does a lot of work with the Frog Pants Studios. And so he is doing a web series on female gamers. So he interviewed the likes of myself, which just was posted yesterday. Also, the Team Unicorn Girls, the Ladies of Elite Girls, Veronica Belmont, I believe Felicia Day, and her name escapes me right now, but the girl who is on the Guild, the blonde kind of heavyset one. But anyways, I can't remember. This is so bad of me. I can't remember the name of the actress, but her as well. So the ladies from the Guild. So yeah, I'm in some pretty impressive company. I was just absolutely thrilled to be asked to answer some questions, except I didn't realize that it was going to be like a 6-month like blog series. So I made some kind of dated remarks. Although I should say that I still do, Skyrim is my go-to game. So that still stands. But in it, I mentioned that I can't wait to play the Mass Effect 3 demo. And we all know how that ended. So
it ended well. Because six months after that interview,
it ended well.
Well, it ended well. I mean, that's why he probably waited, so he wouldn't make a liar out of you. That's good. Yeah. No, sorry.
Yeah, it was actually, it was a lot of fun. Sebastian's a really, really cool guy. So, yeah, I was, like I said, thrilled to be asked. And so, yeah, you guys should all go check it out. I tweeted the link earlier. I believe it might have been yesterday, but we will also have the link in our show notes, which I need to catch up on. I am very, very sorry, guys. My life has been a little upside down lately. So I know I say this every week, but I swear to God, tomorrow I will catch up the show notes. It's becoming like kind of a thing. I'm sorry.
No more Skyrim until the show notes are done, right?
Oh, man.
I'm just kidding. I mean, if we had any complaints, I think most people, you know.
I don't think anyone actually reads my show notes.
I didn't mean it that way. You always twist my words. I meant, like, if they hear something on the show, they're more inclined to Google it than they are to, you know, wait for the show notes, right?
Right.
But the show notes are good for people, like, going back and looking at the archives. So there is a point to having them, for sure.
True. So, I can say the website right now. It's right here in front of me. So, it is gamerweblog1b, and then /?P=299. So, I didn't get to be lucky 300, but I was close.
So, I always read that as gamerweblog or gamerweblog. Weblog works.
Well, that's how I read it. Oh, I probably should have asked. Yeah. Oh, well, that's fine. No big deal. You guys can find it. Just Google my name. I'm sure it'll show up somewhere. Or maybe, maybe I should Google my name before I tell people to go do that.
Some awful college pics from a party you don't really remember, but Google does.
Oh, no. Google knows everything. So, Ryan, what have you been playing this week?
Not a whole lot, but...
Fail.
Yeah, I know. I played a lot more Pocket Planes, like, and I'm, I'm undecided as to how much longer I'm going to play it. It seems to be this game that all...
You were so excited about it a couple weeks ago. You were talking about sending planes to Utah because you couldn't go.
I know.
What the hell happened, man?
And all... Well, what happened is that it's not capturing my attention. Like, these small little iOS freemium games, they capture you hardcore for, like, a week. And then after that, it just becomes repetitive. Like, I'm doing the same thing over and over again without seeing the reward. Like, I mean... the more you play it, the less levels you get. So the longer you're waiting to buy that new airport, to buy that, to buy that new airplane, right?
Right.
So I think that's the largest issue. But cool enough, though, I did participate in the flight event under the Frog Pants team. Actually, before I was on the team, but I wasn't really participating because I couldn't send my plane to Croatia or whatever. But they had an event... within my area, and I was able to send planes there. And the only way you can get the reward is if you contribute to the event, which makes sense, right?
Yes.
This way everybody doesn't just join the high team and get the prize for free. But it was really cool. I think that's a really neat way to get you back, because that actually interested me. I was playing more when I was actually contributing to this worldwide event. And
it's all about multiplayer events. I mean, the same with Mass Effect 3. I mean, they came out with the extended ending DLC, and that got me back to it for a second. But really, everything that I've been playing since I finished the main storyline has been the multiplayer. I mean, if you don't have multiplayer events, then there's no reason to play, really.
Yeah, and I mean, even, just straight up multiplayer. I mean, I played a little bit of Gears of War 3 after it came out, but, you know, after that I lost interest pretty quick, but Mass Effect 3 really has been the only one, the only game I've owned that has kept me interested in multiplayer for, like, what's it been, 4 months now? Yeah, four months. Wow. That's crazy.
Not wow, Mass Effect.
Right,
Try to stay on topic.
That's not even in the notes. What am I doing? yeah, it's crazy. So Pocket Planes, if you're still interested, pick it up. It's free. But,
oh, it's free. Oh, I didn't.
Yeah.
Did you say that last time? I don't remember.
I may have said it was freemium, which
right. Yeah. I think, yeah, that's right, because you were saying how it was similar to Tiny Tower. So, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. It's neat. And they fixed the iCloud problem I was having where I, like, couldn't swap the game from the iPhone to the iPad. That was kind of annoying. So I had to only play on my iPhone or else risk, like, losing all my progress. So now, if you have two devices, it actually works a lot better, and I recommend checking it out still, but I find that I'm slowly getting away from it. That happens to me with iOS games all the time. I mean, everybody has this issue, I'm sure you do as well, with iOS games, where I'll buy them, not play them, and then I'm running out of space 2 weeks later, I'm like, what the hell is this game? I mean, I don't even remember buying it.
Yep.
So,
although usually I don't buy things, I do the, you know, trial or free version first, and then if I don't remember to play it, then I don't remember to play it, and I just delete it because it was free. But one thing I haven't played in forever, except, well, I think I played a couple of games yesterday, just because I got the notification saying that my games are going to expire, was Hero Academy.
Oh yeah.
I mean I still love the game, but I just don't have the time. So I need to try to get back into it, because I do really love playing, and there's a lot of people that are on my list in Hero Academy now that, because it's been so long, they're really hardcore. And so, I mean, can you be hardcore in an iOS game?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they're very hardcore. They play all the time, and as soon as I send moves, you know, 2 minutes later, I have a move back. So they're really good. There's still a lot of people into it, so I need to pick up my end of the rounds, I think.
Yeah, I'm the same way with Hero Academy. I'm feeling the same about it, where I just have fallen off. But I actually did load it back up recently. They have offline challenges now, which is kind of neat. Have you seen
Hero Academy? No, yeah. I haven't.
Basically, it's like puzzle mode. I like to call it. You know, I just invented that right now. Puzzle mode. Basically, you have the four teams that you can play as, and I don't know if they're tied to, like, purchasing the team. That's actually a great question. I don't know if you have to own the team to actually play their challenges. I would assume yes, but basically the challenges work like you're given a you have your five moves, and usually the goal is to kill all the other guys or knock them out rather, and they're all positioned in specific ways. So in one challenge, you have to use like two knights and or three knights rather, to kill one archer. And the way you do it is you do them in a specific order to bounce the archer around, so you never have to move your guy to get her.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just little challenges like that, and they get harder and harder, and they're actually really interesting, and they get you thinking about strategy more when it comes to Hero Academy, rather than just charging in and killing as many guys as possible. It's more about how can I take down these specific guys with five moves and only a archer, knight, and magic dude. So
Wizard.
Me and magic dude go way back, so we're more casual and laid back about how we refer to each other.
I see. I don't even want to know what he calls you.
Oh, no. I mean, it's secret code. It's like, what is it? Belloc. You know, it's just long story. Nice. Involved a door and a squid monster. Oh, God. Just don't get me started.
Well, I can't even.
Can't top it. Just move on, right?
there's absolutely nothing you can say to that at all. Nothing.
They call it a mine. You could have said that.
Yeah, but I can't do the cool voices like you do.
Oh, cool now, eh?
Yeah, Lord of the Rings is fucking awesome.
Oh, good. Well,
just so we're clear.
No, I agree.
Do you know what's really like Lord of the Rings?
What, Jocelyn?
Skyrim.
Oh.
Except Skyrim now has vampires.
So well, it's like I guess Twilight.
Skyrim always had vampires. No, it's like Twilight.
Oh.
You take that back. You take that back or I'm hanging up right now.
Man, I will take it back because those movies are nothing like Dawnguard.
Have you had a chance to play Dawnguard yet? Oh, no, you haven't, because it's only on the Xbox 360.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'm kind of happy it's not out for PC yet, because I wouldn't be playing it, because I haven't had time to play anything, evidently. But I want to hear about it, so without further delay, how is it?
It is too easy.
Oh.
I got through the first dungeon, and with the exception of one boss dude, it was way too easy. I was one-shotting everything. And it's like, you know, vampires, whenever you run into them in the world of Skyrim, usually they're tough. And I mean, like, they get near you and you get infected within, like, one or two hits. So I haven't even had to use the crossbow yet. I've just been using my regular longbow and it's been fine. So, yeah, it's kind of, it's just too easy. But I mean, like, my character is level 62, and I think the Dawnguard expansion unlocks when you hit level 10, so I'm just way OP.
Have you tried turning up your difficulty?
That depends. Have you tried turning up puberty?
No, evidently not enough. But yeah, have you, like, I ran into this similar issue with Skyrim when I went back to it, and I had to turn difficulty all the way up, and it was when I turned it all the way up, it became normal again. It was never super hard, but have you tried turning it up?
I have my difficulty on whatever the next one up from normal is, so I can't remember even if Skyrim... I haven't touched my difficulty since I got back to it, so I can't remember if Skyrim is, like, funny names of stuff, like Diablo, where there's, like, Inferno mode.
Yeah.
It's the one... I can't remember if it's hard or if it has, like, some other name, but it's the one up from hard, so...
Right.
But I could crank it. That's true. I didn't think of that.
Try that, because I found that it kind of balanced things out. Because you're right, at level 60, you're sort of OP. And I think the way Dawnguard, what I've been seeing lately, is it's sort of just... It's marketed as more single-player content, but it seems to be like they've added a lot all over the place. It's sort of like an expansion to the entire game. Have you found little things around, like, old world Skyrim that are new, or?
One thing that I did notice, that it might just be that I didn't play or get enough, like, critical hits kind of thing when I was playing, but I got, you know, the cutscenes that you used to get with one-handed swords?
Mm-hmm.
I got cutscenes with my two-handed sword and with my bow and arrow, because that was something that you were complaining about when Skyrim first came out, were you not? Saying that you only get the cutscenes if you have the sword?
Yeah, they actually patched that in a month ago.
Yeah,
or so
I wasn't ago? I wasn't sure if it was something that launched with Dawnguard or if it was something that got patched in recently, but I remember when I was playing before I lent it to Greg, and there was nothing. There were no cutscenes or anything. And that was back in April, I think. So, but I thought it was really cool. I mean, like, all this, I didn't know what was happening at first because I pulled back my arrow and then I went to, you know, I let the arrow go and then all of a sudden it, like, switched to a view of me letting the arrow go and I was like, what the F is going on? And then it's like, it followed the arrow and then hit a skeleton and the whole skeleton just went kablooey. Like, I was like, whoo, exploding arrow. Awesome.
Oh, Jocelyn, you're killing me here. So what do I need to do? Do I need to wait until Dawnguard comes out or do I jump into Skyrim right now like I feel like I want to?
I think you should jump back into it now. I found that I played for a couple of days before I actually went into Dawnguard. I only just went into Dawnguard this afternoon. I had just been kind of wandering around doing some Daedric quests and, you know, randomly murdering people and, you know, just working out some stress. And, yeah, it was good. So I think, yeah, I've only just completed the first section because I think there's 4 or 5 achievements. That's the other thing. There's more achievements that came with Dawnguard. So originally there were 50, now there are 60. And 5 of those are related to the main quest line.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so I thought that was awesome. So I got the first of the 5. So I'm about 20% through the Dawnguard story, I guess. Give or take.
How are you feeling for content length so far? You know, you say you're 20% in. Are you feeling like you're going to get your $20 value out of it? Or?
I think so. I mean, I played for an hour and a half to 2 hours, somewhere in there. So, I mean, when they said that it would be 10 hours of quest content, it definitely is. So, or, you know, thereabouts. I'm, again, way OP, so I need to up my difficulty level and then it might take longer, but I think they're pretty much on the mark with their estimate of 10 hours of content. So, you know, I think it's definitely worth it. It's there's some real cool mechanics. There's some new weapons with the crossbow. I don't know how you actually become a vampire. That has, unless you just kind of let the first one you find bite you. I don't know. But because there's supposed to be the choosing sides where you either choose to be Dawnguard or you choose to be a vampire lord. And I don't know if I haven't hit that yet in the storyline or if I accidentally just chose to go be a vampire hunter instead. So that was a little bit sketchy. I found that, like, with the Stormcloaks, they kind of bashed you over the head. It's like, do you want to be with the Empire or the Rebellion? Like, one or the two.
Yeah.
But with Dawnguard and whether you become a vampire lord or a vampire hunter, wasn't so clear. Or at least hasn't been so far. But
oh, so it splits similar to the whole war thing? Like you can become one or the other?
Dude, haven't you watched the trailer?
You know what? I just depend on you for all of this.
Oh, man, you have to go watch the trailer. It's okay. Awesome. And yeah, you can choose to become a vampire lord or you can choose to become a vampire hunter.
Oh, so.
And the vampire lord's really cool. He can fly. Oh, just cool. Saying.
Well, is there any, like, cool companions to get on one or the other side, or have you found any of that yet?
No, I haven't. Mm. I don't know if you can get that or not.
I mean, companions in the original Skyrim, to me, was Lydia for 45 hours. And then I discovered the companion werewolf chick, so I swapped her out, and I've actually just kept the... Oh, I think I married it. I don't know. I can't remember. But anyways.
Dude, I'm married too, and I don't think I've seen my husband in like 100 Skyrim days. So
maybe he got ate by the vampires because you turned into a vampire hunter.
Oh, maybe. Maybe I'm going to go home to my home, which I don't even remember where it is. And he'll just be ripped to shreds. Who knows? Although he is a werewolf, so I would hope he could hold his own. But then we get into the whole vampires versus werewolves thing, and man, is that overdone.
Wait, he's a werewolf? Are you a werewolf?
Maybe.
So can you be both?
Oh my god, I could be a vampire werewolf. I have no idea. I think it probably, if you become a vampire, it overwrites your werewolf status.
Well, if I've learned anything from the hit movie series Underworld, you can be both.
That's what I was just thinking.
you can definitely be both, and then star in 4 or 5, or well, 2 or 3 hit movies.
Too many?
Then
I was gonna say, straight to star in too many movies.
Hey, the first one was kind of cool. It was cool. I stand by my word.
Really?
I think she
Well, actually, yeah, the first one was pretty cool.
The first one. I'm not saying all of them, just the first one.
All right. Well, also what we played is Mass Effect 3 multiplayer, which we touched on earlier in the show. And I would just like to say really, really quickly, well, first of all, there is no multiplayer event this weekend. There was supposed to be an event, but because it falls on the 4th of July weekend, they are canceling the event and moving it to next weekend. So heads up, guys, no Mass Effect 3 multiplayer event this weekend. However, I probably wouldn't do it anyway because I don't have my headset here. And trying to play with you guys the other night, I could barely hear you. It's just like every once in a while, it was just like, wow, Jocelyn's playing like shit. I was like, aw.
That's not true.
That is so true.
I don't think
that was one of the only things that came through crystal clear.
That was probably Val. I mean, she was just, no, I'm just kidding.
I mean, I hadn't played in months, and so the first round I also chose, I think, my level 4 guy. I can't even remember, my level 4 soldier, I think, and he was a Turian, and so I'd never played a Turian, and I hadn't played the soldier in forever, because I had been playing with my level 20 adept, so I jumped in with my level 4 soldier, and it was just like, oh god, why is nothing working? It's like in round 1, Jocelyn dies. What?
You know, playing that, I hadn't played it in months, and I kind of wish, and I don't know if you'd agree with me with this, but I kind of wish you could, like, give money to BioWare to unlock a specific character. Not a lot of money, BioWare, if you're listening, please, not a lot, just a little bit, so I can just unlock that friggin' whip dude that I want so bad. You know, I just want to go
you
around.
You want to get whipped by a dude so bad?
No.
That's what I got out of that.
Quite
sentence.
The opposite. I want to talk.
Oh, you want to be the whipper or nothing?
Yeah, yeah. You know, the hit movie Iron Man 2? I mean, I do a mean Russian accent. And I just, if someone else wants to pretend to be Iron Man Downey Jr. or whatever, I can't even muster in a Russian voice. But seriously, though, I'm getting sick and tired of purchasing packs with my hard-earned credits and not unlocking character classes, especially when I can only play it like once a week, and it's just not doing for me. It's taking forever. And
I know, but it's just the same kind of argument that Joel and I had the other day. It's like, if you're willing to just put in the time, eventually you're going to unlock that character. So I don't know.
So what you're saying is I need to shut the hell up and play more.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right.
Suck it up, Buttercup.
Ah, you're right.
But yeah, so not having a headset, bad news bears, because it was impossible to hear you guys. And I felt so bad because, like, I couldn't talk. I couldn't tell you. It's like there's so many times where one of you guys would die and I'd be like, I'm coming, guys. I'm coming. And I'm like, oh, they can't hear me. Dang it. And then every once in a while I'd hear like, oh, Jocelyn's there. Hooray. And I'm like, yeah, I am. I'm still here, guys. Just because you can't hear me doesn't mean I quit the game.
So your headset's coming soon, though, right?
Actually, I'm going to buy one.
Oh, cool.
My headset is coming soon, but it's just the default one that came with the Xbox or with the entry pad or whatever, something like that. Anyways, it's the really crappy one-ear bad mic.
So will you buy like a really cool one?
Not something too huge. I really don't like a lot of weight on my head, so I have to be careful with which ones I pick. And I also don't like weight on my ears, so I don't know. We'll have to see. I'll have to try some on. But I think I'm going to make a pretty significant investment in it because, I mean, I play enough that I think it's worth it. And if I get a Bluetooth headset, then I can use it other places too, so.
I don't think the Xbox supports Bluetooth.
Don't say that.
I don't want you to go out and buy a $100 headset and then have to go out and buy a PlayStation so you can actually use it.
I should buy a PlayStation anyway. I honestly, I haven't looked into it at all. I've just been like, yep, I need a headset.
Yeah.
End of story.
they have a really slick wireless one. It looks nice, but I haven't read any reviews. But it is a wireless. It's one of those small little, it looks like a Bluetooth headset, but it's specifically made for the 360.
Cool. Well, maybe that's the one I'll pick up. As long as it's not big and heavy. And like those big Turtle Beach headphones, they're too big for me.
Yeah.
For my wee little head. And that brings us to quick fire news.
Oh, not
Are
so
you
quick,
ready?
Jocelyn. No, I'm not ready.
Oh, you're not ready? Oh, no. What's happening? What's going on?
I forgot to mention our new segment we're going to be doing in a couple weeks.
Oh, yeah. I totally forgot about that.
It's fine. It's all good. Okay. So what we're doing, we mentioned this before, we're going to be doing what's called Road to Halo 4. And as we all know, Halo 4 is coming out November 6th. It's about 18 weeks from now. So we've decided to play through the entire Halo series in order of release. So we'll be starting with Halo Combat Evolved, the actual... We're going to play the Anniversary Edition. I know it came out more recently, but...
And it's the one that Jocelyn already owns.
Yeah, and I'm not going to go out and try to find Halo 1. I mean, let's face it. Anniversary Edition looks a lot better, easier to get through. So that'll be July 18th, episode 31, when we're going to be covering that. And it's, I think we've discussed it's going to be basically our topic of the week, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So every third week.
Yes. And then afterwards, it'll be every third week because we're starting a little late trying to get this plans in order. So, so we're starting with Halo Combat Evolved. We're going to be discussing everything about that game. This will be your first time playing through the series, correct?
Yes, it is.
So you'll have a new person's perspective and a huge fan's perspective because I played these right from the start. So, and also we are hoping to revive Gignite. So if you own any of the Halo games, we are going to be playing them. And I, for one, would love to give multiplayer a shot and include that in our discussions. So
agreed.
We'll be talking dates and hopefully get you guys on there to play with us. And obviously Halo 2 might be difficult because the servers have been taken down. But in terms of the other games, I think we can make something work.
Can I do quickfire now? Are we good?
Yeah, I think that pretty much covers it.
All right. So, guys, look for our road to Halo 4 in the coming weeks. And we look forward to sharing our thoughts with you. So now on to quickfire news. The EU rules on reselling digital downloads. An interesting ruling was handed down by the EU this week stating that software authors cannot oppose the sale of used licenses. In general, this means that if you purchase a digital version of a game, you can legally resell it with no negative repercussions from the developer. This applies to all software from Microsoft Office to Skyrim. Although this obviously doesn't apply outside the EU and software companies are going to oppose this every step of the way, it's a very interesting development. Gamers in the EU, rejoice.
Hero Academy is coming to Steam. Robot Entertainment announced the next step for the popular turn-based iOS game with a PC release to launch August 8th. When purchased through Steam, gamers will unlock an exclusive new team featuring the characters from Team Fortress 2. That's right, the only way to play as the Team Fortress 2 team on an iOS device is to purchase the Steam version of the game. The Steam version will support cross-platform play between iOS and PC gamers, as well as unlockable Team Fortress 2 items.
New merchandise is coming to the BioWare store. Yesterday, the Mass Effect fan page on Facebook featured some potential new merchandise that could be coming to the BioWare store in the near future. These new items will join things like collectible figurines, books, hoodies, and t-shirts. You guessed it, guys. It's plushies. The photo posted on Facebook features Tali and Garrus, which just screams adorable. So keep your eyes peeled, because I know you'll all want to beat me to the front of the line when they become available.
Call of Duty Online aimed at Asian market. Another free-to-play, massively multiplayer game for Asia will be released thanks to Activision and China-based developer Tencent Holdings Limited. Call of Duty Online will feature a variety of game modes and maps, as well as special operation missions retelling the story based on the Modern Warfare universe. Of course, being free-to-play, there will be an in-game store to take all your money away. The store will offer customizations to weapons, characters, and equipment, as well as offer different enhancements to improve your game, otherwise known as I'm Richer, So You Die Now.
Entrepreneurs are using the Kinect in new and mysterious ways. Okay, well, not that mysterious. Microsoft ran an accelerator program challenging entrepreneurs to create innovative ideas using the Kinect technology. Some of the ideas include a device that allows surgeons to navigate patient MRIs and CT scans in the operating room while maintaining sterility, and a cost-effective way of producing real-world 3D models of people, places, and things. The full list of all 11 projects will be linked in our show notes. I promise.
Sony enters the cloud. Something that has been long rumored in the video game industry is that Sony wants to bring cloud gaming to the masses. That reality is one step closer with the news that Sony has purchased Gaikai for $380 million. Sony is hoping to bring content ranging from immersive core games with rich graphics to casual content anytime, anywhere, on a variety of internet-connected devices.
Blizzard puts World of Warcraft on sale. Happy 4th of July. Or is it? This week only, Blizzard is selling the WoW Battle Chest, Wrath of the Lich King, and Cataclysm for $10 each. This means you can get WoW and all the expansions for only $30. That is a completely insane deal. Not sure if the 4th of July or... Sorry. Totally ruined that joke. Not sure if 4th of July celebration or Mists of Pandaria lead-in.
Live-action Halo web series gets a teaser. Looking forward to Halo 4? Well, 343 Studios and Microsoft are doing their best to make sure you are. This fall, Halo 4 Forward Unto Dawn will premiere as a web series before the release of Halo 4 to set up the story for the game. To get you excited for the web series that's going to get you excited for Halo 4, IGN has a first look at Forward Unto Dawn. Check out the link in the show notes and enjoy.
Which brings us to our topic of the week. And so what Ryan and I did this week is we both watched Indie Game The Movie, which is a documentary that follows the developers of Super Meat Boy, who are Edmund and Tommy, the developer of Fez, who is Phil Fish, and the developer of Braid in their quest to become king of the indie game. So, Ryan, what did you think about this movie? First of all, where did you decide that you were going to get it? Because we both got them in different places.
Yes. I'm a huge fan of things like this. Like, people who have been listening to the show probably would assume that this sort of project would be right up my alley. So I wanted to keep this thing. I purchased it for $10 on Steam. And not only do you get a 1080p version of the movie, but it's in the form of this like app. And it gives you extras, including like a prototype to the movie, something they filmed first to kind of proof of concept. Featured a developer by the name of Alec Holoka. That's not good. Alec Holoka, who worked on indie title Aquaria. And it also has audio commentary that I have yet to listen to, but it features Team Meat, Edmund and Tommy, so you can imagine how awesome that would be. But yeah, I purchased it on Steam, and I've watched it actually a couple times, so it's really good.
You've already watched it a couple of times?
Well, I've watched the first half, and then I stopped, and then I ended up rewatching the first half again, and I'm actually looking forward to watching it with the audio commentary. I really liked it. How did you watch it?
Joel and I rented it for $6 on the Apple TV, and I chose not to buy it because I'm not a really big, with the exception of big movies like Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, that kind of stuff. I don't really rewatch stuff all the time, so I didn't want to buy it. And, you know, I mean, I know it's only $4, but, you know, all those $4 is that $4 is.
You're going to go have, you know, one day you're going to be tweeting me and saying, I'm super energetic because I had two coffees. And I'll be like, oh, I couldn't afford two coffees today, so I'm super tired. I think that's what's going to happen.
That is totally what's going to happen. And then all I'm going to tweet back to you is indie game sent.
And I'll just get on. I'll be like, no.
Exactly. So we rented for, like I said, $6 on the Apple TV. And it was awesome. I mean, we paused it and had conversations about it throughout the whole thing, which was fun. And it was really interesting to see them all, you know, talking about just everything, the whole process. I mean, what I really enjoyed about it was that you got to see the successful indie developer in Jonathan, who made Braid. Mm-hmm. And then you got to see the struggling indie developer, because at this point when the movie was made, Fez actually hadn't come out yet. And, oh, God, you guys know how much I love Fez. So it actually hurt my heart when I was watching it, because I was like, oh, man, dude, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Just hang in there, because your game is awesome and it's going to come out and everyone's looking forward to it. So it'll be fine.
I think he had the worst out of this. Well, again, like, we're not, if all you're doing is watching the movie and know nothing about these projects, you're right. You see it as like, man, I wonder how this guy did. Like, at the end, it's like expected to come out, but that's it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
and it was really funny. It's like, Fez is expected to come out in 2010. 2010 deadline missed.
Yeah.
Fez is expected to come out 2011. Not anymore. Now we're pushing for 2012. I'm just like, oh, man, that must have sucked. Just absolutely sucked. And I mean, like, he had all the legal issues with his ex-partner and all that kind of stuff, and that was drama, which is the one thing I really didn't like about the movie, is it felt so reality TV to me. It was just like, how can we film this and cut this so that there's as much drama as possible?
It's actually funny you mention that, because soon after this came out and hit the, I think it was Sundance, it got picked up by HBO, and they're going to do a series based on the concept. So it'll be like a fake, I don't want to say fake reality show, but sort of like
they're all fake reality shows.
Well, this one is strictly fake, probably like a drama following a fake company that is making a game and sort of basing it on
kind of like The Office.
Yeah, but and I actually think it is going to be a comedy. So, like, yeah, basically, The Office indie game. And now, this may have changed. I remember reading this months ago. But the other point I was going to make is that the Fez stuff, you know, at the end of the movie, it's like, oh, it's coming out in 2012. On the indie game website, they have pre-orders for the special edition DVDs. And and it actually is going to include the epilogue featuring Phil Fish and kind of follow out the rest of his story.
Oh, that's cool. That is something I would really like to see. Now yeah. I'm kind of kicking myself.
Well, I mean, and that's what I'm kind of hoping that they added as like DLC for the Steam app. I think that would be really cool. But if they don't, I don't know. I guess I would like to own this on Blu-ray. I mean, it's one of those unique documentaries that I can actually really get into because it's about something I really enjoy.
Another theme that they seem to really touch on is the whole success and depression and how those are related. And I found it really, really interesting. But I mean, the way that they were saying, you know, even after we succeeded, we still thought we were going to fail. You know what I mean? Like 20,000 sales in day one, and we still were expecting to fail. And I'm just like, holy crap. Like, I know you've been working on this for a while, but wow. And then like, you know, I think it was Phil said that if I don't finish, I'm going to kill myself. And I was just like, that's a little dramatic. But I mean, like these guys, when they're developing an indie game, they're working insane hours for $0. Like yeah. It's totally all just them and themselves. And they might have a grant or they might have, you know, an investor or something. But I mean, they're not bringing in a salary. Everything they are is totally thrown into the game and depends on the game to succeed. Otherwise, you know, they're going to be bankrupt completely, like personally, completely, totally screwed.
Well, yeah, I mean, Phil Fish, when he said that, he followed up by saying, like, everything I have is in this game, and if it fails, I'm done. Like, I mean, he's got nothing. If, you know, he's being ridiculed on the internet for the game not being out yet, and, you know, everyone's expecting him to fail. So if he mm-hmm. fails, he's got nothing to fall back on, because, like you were saying, I mean, he's got, I think even his grant money fell through, and at the time it when did, they were yeah. shooting it, he was basically working on the project with $0.
Mm-hmm.
And he just was a mad dash to get it done.
And they were also talking about with the whole depression and people not understanding, that was what was causing some of it, is people either not understanding the game itself after it was out, in the case of Jonathan after he launched Braid, or they were talking about like Phil's experience online with everyone being like, I hate you, go kill yourself. It's like, well, no one needs to hear that. There's just no reason for that whatsoever. And it was just, it was really interesting to see the differences. And I think Jonathan was also, I guess, quote unquote, misunderstood, because he was saying that, you know, he was really paying attention to his launch. And so he just kind of had an alert set up or whatever, or was just on all the forums and on all the blogs and responding to all, like literally every single comment that was made and every review that was posted about Braid. He was commenting and saying, oh, well, actually, I meant this, or let me just clarify this for you, and on and on and on. And, you know, people were calling him pretentious. People were just being absolutely awful to him. And so, you know, that between that and then what he said, people not understanding the game and not understanding what he meant by it, it really drove him into a depression, even after having the crazy successful record-breaking game that was Braid. So I found all that very interesting, how, like, everyone thinks that success and money and everything else just is going to make you happy, and then here's these guys being like, I am successful, and I have millions of dollars, and I kind of want to go jump off a building.
Yeah, I mean, most of these developers, they put their heart and soul into the game, and that's what makes it indie, because it's like, it's based on their life. Like Jonathan Blow, and this is what I don't understand about the just general people on the internet, you know, they're attacking these guys like this is their life. They put years of their life into it. Jonathan Blow specifically put memories and, or not just Jonathan Blow, but also Edmund.
Yeah, the dev guy. Oh man, seeing him talk about his childhood and all the Flash games that he developed and talking about his grandmother and stuff, and he's all tearing up and I'm tearing up, and I'm just like, oh man, so much emotion going on right now.
there were some points where I was like misty-eyed, like this stuff is sad. These are people's lives we're watching, and you're cheering
powerful.
Them on because you want them to succeed, because the opposite of them succeeding is their life ruined. And
there's no middle ground there. It's like either this succeeds and I become a millionaire, or this fails and my life is over.
Yeah. And I had a point there.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. It was, I don't know what it was. Well, I mean, Edmund, just the stuff. Oh, now I remember. When they were talking sales, and Edmund's on the couch and he's watching a video review for his game, and his wife is on the couch with him. And you know, all of a sudden, the camera pans to the wife, and the wife hides her face. And then Edmund asks, well, what's wrong? And she looks at the camera, and she's crying, and she's saying, I'm glad that people understand what you guys went through to make this game. And she's crying because she lived through the years of them developing it. And people are finally realizing how much work and how much of their blood, sweat, and tears went into making this game. And I think that was a point at which, with Super Meat Boy especially, people understood what they went through. And Edmund was happy that people were loving and getting his game. And basically, they wanted to make a game that their 12-year-old selves would want to play and stay up all night and be frustrated because it was so hard, but not because the game was broken, but because it was more about skill. I mean, that's another thing that they were really about was that this game was old school, and that the controls were perfect, and the only way to succeed was to do something exactly, like, perfectly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have you played... Actually, that's a great question. Which ones of these have you played?
I've played Fez, that's it.
Oh, okay.
Super Meat Boy is one that I wanted to pick up and just never got around to it, so after seeing this, I probably will, because, like, I was sitting there and I was watching all the in-game footage of it, and I was laughing my ass off, especially when he would, like, jump over things, but then get hit by a saw, and then he just, like, explodes. And I was like, that's awesome!
Yeah.
And then, like, when he's jumping off the walls and stuff and, like, just leaving a trail of blood, because he's just meat, right? So, oh, man, it was awesome. So it's one of my have-to-go-pick-em-up as soon as I turn my Xbox on titles. So,
yeah.
And then I haven't played Braid either. I'd actually, before the movie, hadn't heard of it, which I know is awful, but I'm not as into indie titles as you are. Although with Xbox Live Arcade, I have been getting more and more into the indie scene, indie games, all that kind of stuff. So that's how I knew about Fez.
Yeah, I it was quite the opposite. I played just the demo of Fez, but Super Meat Boy, I got maybe just over halfway through, and it is a hard fucking game. I mean, it's like frustratingly, it's weird, and it's got this great mechanic where you play through, and every time you die, it saves that playthrough, and then finally, after the 80th time of trying it and getting it, it shows every attempt that you made all at the same time. So there, at the start, there's like this you know, mass of Meat Boys just trying to beat the level, and then all of a sudden,
is that the trail of Meat Boys?
Yes. It's showing your path.
Oh, I saw that, and I was like, oh my god, Joel, you can play, do you see that? You can play with multiple Meat Boys.
No, yeah, that's just a replay, and it shows, like, you'll see, like, 2/3 of them die in the first jump, and then, you know, 5 or so make it, and then 1 makes it, and it's really cool to see your progress in that game.
That's there were a lot of really interesting game mechanics, like the whole rewind idea while still affecting the environment in Braid. That was really cool because when he was talking about it, he was saying it would be really interesting to just be able to rewind a video game, like as much or as little as you wanted to, and just have that game mechanic in there. But it was so much more than that, because it's like you would jump down from a platform into a pit, and then you were able to pick up a key. Now, if that was just a straight rewind, then you would drop the key and go back up onto the platform. But that's not how he did it. He did it where you drop down into the pit, you pick up the key, and then you hit rewind, and you bring the key with you. So it's like it helps you solve the puzzles, and it's a real, like, you have to use that mechanic to solve the puzzles and beat the game. So I was like, oh, man, that's just a whole nother dimension. And speaking of other dimensions, Fez, same idea. Like, I mean, I have never seen a game, and, you know, this could just be that I haven't played enough games, but that spins the world to show you something totally different and changes the puzzle depending on which dimension or, like, which view you have of the world. Like, I just, such cool mechanics.
I need to pick up Fez. I actually was checking out their website, and I guess they have a big patch coming out soon. So I think when that patch comes out, I'll buy it and play it.
It's definitely worth picking up. Like, I've had so much fun with it, and I still haven't beaten it because it's very confusing and it's very mind bending, but fun, so much fun. And I mean, it's all 8-bit and, you know, retro, which is another thing that they all did, is there were so many throwbacks to the old, like, 80s and 90s titles. And to see Edmund sitting there and pointing stuff out and being like, you know, oh, this is from game X and this is from game Y. And, you know, we really pulled stuff from, like, Street Fighter and you know, and it's just when you see them, like, one screen beside the other, you can totally see that it's, like, pretty much just a copy. It's like Street Fighter given the skin of Super Meat Boy. Literally. Because he doesn't have any skin, so it must have gone somewhere, right?
But when we get drop-ins, we are definitely including a rib shot.
Yep. But anyway, so but if you weren't intimately familiar with, like, Street Fighter, then you probably wouldn't have caught that. You know, your little Meat Boy just would have gone walking down the street and walked right by the big gate that looks just like the Street Fighter gate, but you'd just keep going. What was it, Castlevania? Dang it!
There's a punch scene, I think, that they showed that was like Street Fighter or something. Mm. But no, I'm right there with you. When I played that game and saw those scenes, I just assumed, oh, he punched her. That's hilarious. You know, I didn't realize it was like a straight-up homage to you know, it's just a straight up you know, this is Street Fighter parody. And there's, like, Mega Man, I think they did too, which was
really, oh yeah, cool. There were so many. So yeah, I think it was, I thought it was very enjoyable. I don't know if I'd watch it again, but I would encourage other people to definitely watch it. And I thought that the one nice final touch in the movie was showcasing the other games in the credits. So there were other indie titles that it would kind of go a screen full of credits and then a screenshot or a video or something of an indie game and then more credits, more indie games. And Ryan, you say that that had something to do with Kickstarter?
Yeah, this started as a Kickstarter project, and basically why the credits are so long, because if you go to the, well, we'll include the link in the show notes, but when you go to the Kickstarter page, you'll see that pretty much every tier besides the first one has a your name in the credits. But the final one for $300 gets you a snippet of your trailer. And that actually had me watching the entire credits alongside the wonderful music, which was really
cool. Yeah, I watched the credits the whole way through as well.
Yeah, and it gives you like a 30-second trailer of another indie game to check out. And I actually went to a couple of the websites just to look at the games.
Couple that I actually recognized that looked really cool. So
yeah, the Kung Fu Rabbit one looked really cool. I've never seen that before. It just looked really neat.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the music, I don't know, I'm a big video game music person. I don't know if you enjoyed the music, but it's actually done by another Canadian, Jim Guthrie, outside of Toronto, and he did the music for Sword and Sorcery.
Oh, nice.
For the iOS and now PC.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I got the soundtrack and it's fantastic. He actually does most of his work with a PS1. It's actually really cool. Definitely check out his work because it's video game based as well.
So do you have any final thoughts on Indie Game before we get to our listener feedback?
Yeah, I guess just as a wrap-up, like you were saying, recommend it to pretty much, you know, you recommend it, but I would say you have to kind of be interested in gaming for to some degree, but I don't think you need to necessarily be interested in the development of games. Like I was watching it with my girlfriend Ashley. She's not a gamer, so she that's why I watched the first half hour and had to stop, because she wasn't interested. It was kind of lost on her. Like, you know, if you're not into games, I don't think this is going to change that. But if you're interested in games or even small titles and you're trying to discover the indie world and you know how these games are made, I mean it's nothing like the big shots, right? That, you know, as Tommy was saying, like, if this fails, I don't want to work for BioWare or Epic because they make mm-hmm. shit games. I think that was a little much, but
that was a little bit harsh.
Yeah,
but
he's a bit of an oddball, I think you'll find. But it's just fascinating because it's the complete opposite of how a big budget title game is made. Right.
Well, and that was one of the points, sorry, just before we move on, that Phil made is, you know, he was taking a lot of flack for not getting the game done. And he was just like, look, it takes a BioWare 2 or 3 years to make a title. And he's like, they have like 1,000 people working on it. This is just me. I'm one person. It's like, it's been 2.5 years, like, back off.
I loved that scene. And I loved everything with I know a lot of people think Phil Fish is a bit of an ass. But I mean,
he's just French.
Yeah.
That's
well,
cool.
He's French. And you'll notice in the earlier scenes when they were talking about his partner, he had a thick French accent. And as the story went on, he started to kind of get better with his English. I kind of noticed a bit. And it's actually funny, the ex-partner, you mentioned that was there to create drama. And I think you're right, because in the credits they mention, we did not attempt to involve the ex-partner in the movie. Mm-hmm. So I don't even know if they talked to the guy or if they just completely ignored it, because Phil Fish, he was very upset with this dude.
He was very upset, yeah. So I'm sure that he probably said, like, I'll do the movie, but not with that guy.
Yeah, and I would be interested to find out. And I mean, it's easy to find out who it was and more info about the partnership. But I would have liked to see more of that. But then again, if it would have ruined the whole Fez Phil Fish involvement, I guess I'm happy that they didn't go after that. But mm-hmm. it would still be interesting to know, and I'm sure a quick Google search would provide me with that story. But no, I think that's all I got for Indie Game, and I would highly recommend it.
Excellent. And that brings us to listener feedback. So we have an iTunes review this week. So Ryan, why don't you give it a shot?
Oh, I'll do my best. This one comes in from Lemel in the Australian iTunes store. He gives us 5 stars and says, great podcast, fun and bright podcast with the quirky Jocelyn and the mellow Ryan. These two hosts provide great news in gaming while giving their views along with it, allowing an enjoyable listen at any point of time, live or on your way to work.
Which actually, we should mention, I don't believe we've mentioned it this week. We actually do record live. We record live at 9:30 Eastern every Wednesday night. So if you want to come join us, it's gamersinpodcast.com/live. And we have a live chat room. So hello, chat room. Thank you very much for being with us tonight. We appreciate the support. We also got some support from Twitter. So this is a message that we got from Snyder Mahler, which as soon as I hear Mahler, everything I think is just Goldeneye. Mahler.
What?
Goldeneye.
What about
64?
Yeah, I know the
there
game.
There was the Mahler gun.
I don't know what the Mahler gun is.
Oh, no, it wasn't. Oh, no, it wasn't Goldeneye. Sorry, it was Perfect Dark. Perfect Dark.
Was it the laptop gun? That was my favorite in Perfect Dark.
I'm pretty sure the laptop gun was in Goldeneye. Oh, I don't know. I'm what? Getting all my guns games confused. They were, like, pretty much the same, except one had a dude and one had a chick, so...
So, wait, what's the Mahler, then? We still haven't...
The Mahler is, like, the alien gun, and you could have two of them at the same time, and they shot, like, this, like, pink laser stuff, and they were, like... I can't even do the sound, but... Anyways. Yeah, no. No? Not, no.
It was the first attempt. I can't remember. Perfect Dark's, like, what? God, don't even say it. It's just gonna make us feel really...
I think it's like 97 or 98, somewhere in there.
It's a long time ago, Jocelyn.
It is. But anyway, so that's what I think of when I hear about Mahler. So I'm just going to link that in the show notes because it's fun. There's got to be a YouTube video somewhere. And so basically, Eric says that he discovered the Gamers Inn via Nerdtacular, and he started listening and really digs us. So he's going to keep on listening. So we thank you, Eric, very much for sharing that with us. And that brings us to the end of our show. So you can email the show if you would like to send us your feedback at info@gamersinpodcast.com. You can visit us on the web at www.gamersinpodcast.com, or you can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GISGamer. Ryan is at rmurphy. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. You can also find the show on Facebook at facebook.com/TheGamersInn. And we are also on Google+. So before we go, I just wanted to give a quick shout out and thank you to my brother Greg for creating our awesome music. You can find him on Twitter at SoundsInfluence. We would also like to thank Joel Duggan of Starcross Online, who drew our Twitter avatars and created our logo. You can find him on Twitter at Joel Duggan or read his comic at starcrossedonline.com. So thank you for staying at The Gamers Inn, and remember to tune in next week.
Why? Not why. How? How cookies? Why not Imporant? Ogre-like cookies.
What kind of cookies then? Because there's so many varieties.
I would hope he likes chocolate.
Fuck that. Peanut butter.
Oh!
Yeah, I went there.
Ogre good. Ogre always good. Until ogre bad. Then you know like ogre.
I could get potato chips and just be like, oh,
it can be a segment. Ryan guesses what the hell you're eating so loudly. It's not funny, Ryan.
God. What's wrong with you?
I don't know. I just constantly feel like disappointing people.
Om nom nom.